We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Hey, what is up, everybody? Welcome to the Guilty as Charged podcast. My name is Steven, and I am the host, as always. And joining me is my guy, Tyler. Tyler, what's up, man? How are you doing today?
I'm doing very well. I took a nice walk on the beach before this, and it was lovely.
Wow, must be nice to live right by beach access. I'm not jealous at all there. But
plus or minus 20 minutes in a toll road, but otherwise, yeah. Close to the beach.
Close to the beach in Southern California, you know? It is what it is, but... excited about today's show. Last week, we obviously did the riskiest draft prospects. Today, we're doing the opposite end of that spectrum. So we're going to talk about the high floor prospects in today's show. We got a lot of positive feedback from the riskiest prospect show. And so I think this is going to become one of our staples from here on out, Tyler. So props to you for doing the bulk of the work there. Really appreciate the idea, the creativity, the effort that went into all of this. Tyler has launched his own Patreon page. So if you missed that, you please go check it out. He's begun to write again, which is how we got connected in the first place. So, you've written about Blake Corum and prospects you were higher on and lower than. So, go check that out. Tyler, where can they find that?
Yeah. So I guess on Twitter or on X, pardon me, I have a link to my Patreon page, or you can just Google, type in whatever, Tyler Schoon Patreon. It's me. It's a picture of me. If you find the one that's a picture of me, it's me. And if there's something about why I wouldn't take Blake Corum at all, then you've definitely found me. You know, that's me for sure. I definitely write more than that, positive, negative, et cetera. But yeah, like I was just a contributor at Bolt Beat once upon a time with Travis Wakeman and Matt Pagel. So fun stuff. I don't know if anyone in the chat even remembers like Travis Wakeman, Matt Pagel's sort of quote unquote back in the day. My first article was about Brandon Flowers and the Chargers. So not a throwback, but you know, it's been a few years.
It definitely has been a few years. My first article at Bolt Beat was about Melvin Ingram being like the MVP of the 2017 season. 2018 season was obviously my first season covering the Chargers, and it was the best season that I've covered. So that was fun. It spoiled me for sure. So go check that out. If I had the time, I would certainly go write. Maybe once I'm done studying draft prospects and things like that, maybe I'll get back into that somehow. Probably not, but you know, Tyler had the itch to write, so he's writing, and I encourage you guys to go check it out. Okay. Also here, we did a wonderful show with Trevor Sikkema yesterday. If you missed it, we did a dueling mock draft. So please go check that out. Very different to have a guest on for that show. And Trevor was great. Certainly rolled with the punches, had a great time talking with him. I've had a great time talking about the draft with him. And we are closing in on 2 weeks left to the draft, which is crazy to me. Last year was such a drag to get to the draft. This year, I feel very much like I still have so much left to do before April 25th gets here. So should be fun.
Yeah, it's way more fun heading into this draft. I feel like I have so much to do like you do, but I keep feeling this nice, like, inherent drive to want to do that.
Yeah.
Because of this regime and because of the picks. I mean, heck, even like 2 fourth round picks, like, ooh. Yeah. But hey, that's kind of interesting. That makes it, you know, you want to go find some of those day three guys they could target. So it's a blast. I know you're above 130. I'm getting to like 120 something. So we're going to slowly crawl and fight and bleed all the way there. But yeah, I agree with Kareem. Like it's been a faster off season, I believe. I feel like suddenly we were out of time to do shows. Like there's so much we could do.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think we're out of time to do shows.
Yeah. Like there's obviously a lot of stuff from like phase one and that's started. Like Andy Bischoff had some great comments about the offense and Justin Herbert. We don't have time to talk about it because we are full steam ahead towards the draft. So I think this is the biggest draft push we've done. So hopefully you guys have enjoyed the coverage of the draft. You know, we're each going to do our best to get to 150 graded prospects. And later on here in the next couple weeks, we'll have like our top 100 episode. We're going to do like the other guys episode where we talk about, you know, if you miss out on player X in the first round or second round, then you can find the players, you know, in the third round, fourth round kind of show. So a lot of fun stuff coming down the road. And today we are doing the safest draft prospects episode to counteract the riskiest players. And as always, today's show is brought to you by our friends over at Prize Picks. All right, Tyler, that being said, let's get to this episode here. This is obviously your baby again, as the riskiest prospect show was. So what was kind of your criteria when we, you know, sat down to plan this episode? What was kind of your baseline for how you would go about defining what is a safe player in the NFL draft?
Right. So as everyone will say, there's no such thing as a safe player. I totally get that. That's why it's the safest players that we believe are your best bets. And that doesn't mean that they are going to be the all pros. It doesn't mean that they're the future all pros. They're guaranteed to be an all pro, but there's something about them that I think will allow them to hang in the league. And it usually should go beyond just one thing. So like, I'm not just going to go with like Theo Johnson because he's super athletic and that's it. There has to be something else to match. So for you, for I, what we always try to do is balance and find the guys who check enough boxes in different areas, not just one. It's not just a film thing. It has to be maybe stats, or it could be per play stats, or it could be their athletic score or whatever. Like there's something that matches that allows their floor to be higher. We tried to avoid injury history players on here. I don't think there's overlap with the riskiest players, but there could have been. There are some players who the film grade, the RAS, the stats all look great and they should be on here, but maybe like, there was like a medical issue. So there's one riskier player that we do have on here. But otherwise, just try to find players that had more than just one thing to hang their hats on. Like maybe the film's good, but there's also stats to back it up, something like that.
Yeah, I think, you know, day one, you know, most of the players are I would say,
yeah,
considered safe.
Right.
Outside of like Amarius Mims and things like that. But this is really like, I think more valuable for day two and day three guys. Mm-hmm. I think you are, there's a lot of things that can just kind of help you be successful in the margins when you're evaluating these kind of players. And this is stuff that teams do. Like Arjun has been tweeting out recently about his new feature regarding athletic traits, right? And, you know, one of the things about like the Ravens attributes is that they love size and arm length at offensive tackle. Obviously the Chargers preferred height and length at receiver. Like every team has these kind of things, these kind of attributes that they're looking for. And now with like the influence of analytics and data, there's like benchmarks for data traits that teams are swaying towards and staying away from. And so, you know, teams are trying to line up every box possible. You know, like the Chargers visiting with Dallas Turner and Laiatu Latu is more about checking boxes and making sure that they're like, you know, dotting their I's and crossing their T's more so than interest in those prospects, I would say. And so that's what we're trying to do here ourselves and trying to figure out which players check the most boxes, and maybe you can find some value in, particularly on day two and day three.
Yeah, I would agree. And these, again, aren't necessarily the players that we think are like the number one guy at their position or the highest on our board. It just comes down to safest. Again, like you talked about ceiling, that's the riskiest. There's some guys on there like Latu, ceiling, incredible, tons of risk. He's not on here, I don't think. We aim for more safer players here. So again, these aren't our number one players or even number two, but they are players we think in each spot are really good bets.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree there. I funny you mentioned Latu not being on here. I almost put him on here as my day one guy, and I was like, wait, no, we talked about him on the other episode.
But it's so difficult not to, because he's so good otherwise. If you didn't know, that's a top five player in this class.
Yeah, 100%. All right, let's get started with the day one guys. There are obviously players that we definitely have to talk about regarding round one safe players. So I'll read off the top ones here first. That's obviously Malik Nabers. His composite ranking, which if you don't know what a composite ranking is, Tyler compiles every, you know, not every, but a wide variety of statistics to create composite rankings. He averages them out. So Malik Nabers is tied for sixth in the composite ranking among receivers. His RES score is 9.67. Joe Alt, his composite ranking for offensive tackles is first, and his RES is 9.93. He's a pretty good prospect. Romo Dunze is third in composite ranking, and his RES is 9.92. And then Jerzon Newton, the defensive tackle, is first in composite ranking, and RES is 9.22. Did he test? I must have missed that.
No, he did not. I realized that we just switched the slides, or I just changed around the slides before we jumped on, and I realized that Newton and Marvin Harrison Jr. both have things on there that aren't true.
All right, there we go. Do you know who was on there before the changes?
I do not recall. The composite, I think the composite for Newton actually might have been Murphy before I switched things around. Anywho, Marvin Harrison Jr., Taliese Fuaga, Byron Murphy, Brock Bowers round out these round one projections. I have there for Marvin Harrison Jr. that he's second. It was somebody else. I can't remember who I had there before. Marvin Harrison Jr. actually is 12th in those per play stats, but I don't believe that to be a particular issue.
No, the film, I think, is doing the bulk of the work there. And we've talked a lot about Marvin Harrison Jr. So
for sure.
So each of these days, we are going to have a spotlight round one player. For this particular round, I chose Taliese Fuaga, which is how I learned how you say that name, apparently.
Where's the N?
It's kind of like how it's Tagovailoa, not Tagovailoa kind of deal. I learned that the other day, so it's Fuaga for what it's worth. The offensive lineman from Oregon State. So the selling points, I think, from a statistical standpoint, he only allowed 23 pressures over the last 2 years. He allowed zero sacks across the last 2 years. Which is the pressure number there is the same as Troy Fautanu, who is the offensive tackle from Washington. That's the same number that he allowed in the entire 2023 season. Granted, he played three extra games than Fuaga did because of the college football playoff run and Pac-12 championship game. That being said, the pressure numbers are outstanding. And my favorite thing about Fuaga is his ability as a run blocker. He's an elite to above average run blocking grades in zone run scheme and gap scheme. He's the only offensive tackle to place in the top five in this class in both zone and gap runs, which I think absolutely shows up on tape. And then as a pass protector, he's extremely technically refined. If you watch his battle against Liatu Latu, it's like teach tape on both sides, just from a technicality standpoint. There are some minor athletic concerns, I think, for him, and despite him being 6'6", he has like barely 33-inch arms. So some teams view him as a guard. I think that's kind of a positive, and particularly for the Chargers in a trade down scenario, I think he is kind of my prospect of choice if you're talking about trading down to 11 and targeting offensive linemen, because he could start this year at guard. You don't have to switch him sides, and then he could kick back out to right tackle next year. So there's a ton to like about Taliese Fuaga. You know, the numbers are good. The film is really good. The RES is at least, you know, above average. This is not an elite athlete, but he's not a bad athlete anyways, either way. So there's a ton to like. He was fantastic at the senior role. This is a player who might not have as high of an upside as like an Olufoshanu or even like a JC Latham, but I think he's the safest offensive tackle prospect not named Joe Alt, in my opinion.
Yeah, I think he's very safe because even if you view him as a tackle prospect, he could kick into guard, like you said. So there's a fit for him. And I think that's what we're looking for here sometimes with safe players. Like, can you get on the field? Do you have a role on the field? Do you only do one thing? Oops, we're not good at that one thing. Can you find another thing? Okay, yeah. Well, great. We can play guard. We can play tackle or whatever it is for him.
Right.
I really like that selection there. I'll go with Romo Odunze. He is not my wide receiver one or my wide receiver two, but I do have him as a top five player in the class, especially because I don't grade quarterbacks. He is, I actually think, a safer prospect than Malik Nabers. I have Nabers higher because there's a bit of a ceiling chase there. And Nabers being higher in yards per route run, I think, does mean something. But at the end of the day, I mean, I was looking at reception perception that Matt Harmon puts together. And I mean, higher success rate versus man, versus zone, versus double coverage, and versus press than Malik Nabers, which is really impressive to see. He was number one in all of those, except for, I think, zone, where Roman Wilson was higher. Otherwise, he was number one in the class in those this past year, which is really impressive. Number one, number nine RAS in the whole class, wide receiver two behind Adonai Mitchell. And I think, and I wrote these three down, best, surest, and most clutch hands in the class. I think all three of those apply. I think he has the best hands. I think he has the surest hands. I think he has the most clutch hands. It just really felt like, I mean, I think the last offensive play of their game against Oregon, it's like, okay, we got to get it to somebody. It goes to Romo Odunze, touchdown, game over. Like, that is how, that's what great players do. And so I think that really helps. And then, of course, the last 2 years, you know, almost 3,000 receiving yards total, 20 touchdowns. Like, a lot of these guys, you know, Nabers included, there's 2 years of this. It's so impressive. You know, like Leggett, only 1 year. Really like the film, really like the production, but it's only 1 year, one-year wonder kind of guy. With Odunze, it's, again, almost 3,000 receiving yards the last 2 years, 20 touchdowns. Yeah. Just combining all these things together, I do feel like he's a safer prospect, even though I like Nabers better.
And I think, you know, there's a lot of, you know, draft evaluators who prefer Romo Odunze over Malik Nabers. And I can see why, because you watch Malik Nabers tape and it's a ton of fun, but it's a lot of work in the slot. It's a lot of work against off coverage. And if you do that against him, like, you're not going to do well because he's so fast and so explosive. So I can understand why you like either one, either way. There's not as many guys that have Odunze as wide receiver one. I think there's a few out there, but just really, really solid. And I think Dane Brugler was talking about this on the last Athletic Football Show. Odunze finished the season playing through broken ribs and a punctured lung. And if you watch the tape, you have no idea that that is the case, because he is just as good. I think when you look at a player against, like, their best competition, that's when Odunze was at his best, against Oregon, against Kyrie Jackson, against Michigan, against Will Johnson. Like, this is a guy who consistently showed up in the brightest moments for Washington, played through several difficult injuries, improved from year to year. You know, the other thing Dane has talked about on the Athletic Football Show is that Romo Odunze went from like a 38% contested catch rate to like 75% this year. And he did that because he went out of his way to train with Washington basketball team and like learn how to rebound and like how to body, you know, body position and things like that. So this is a guy who checks a ton of boxes. And if we're talking like pure stylistic fit, like, Romo Odunze is the most Harbaugh guy of the big three wide receivers, in my opinion, because of the way that he plays, the toughness, the physicality, the consistency. Like, I don't think they take Romo Odunze at number five, but I personally would not be shocked if he were in consideration at number five.
I completely agree. And I'm prepared for him to be the pick. And I'm not entirely sure, but I think he does fit a lot of what he said about with Harbaugh. I mean, even the there every day, the Ted thing that they have up, they said, unless a bone's sticking out of you, you're going to be there every day. Well, Odunze is like, well, the bone's not sticking out, but my lung's punctured, my ribs hurt, but I'll get out there and play, man. Like, that's really impressive. Like, and that kind of stuff is going to stick. So I know fans are really laser focused on Malik Nabers and even Marvin Harrison Jr. I think Romo Odunze is absolutely worth the fifth overall pick. I don't think he is over other players, but I understand why they would go with Odunze. And frankly, like, I think Odunze makes sense for what Roman and these guys could do. Nabers, I think, is a tiny bit more of an X factor and a new thing for them.
Yeah. Like you said, I am Malik Nabers as wide receiver too, but Roman Unze is not very far behind. Like this trio of wide receivers is so good.
Nuts.
And we debate online as Chargers fans between Marvin Harrison Jr., Malik Nabers, and I think we do need to, you know, throw Roman Unze into that conversation.
Yeah, very much so worthy of it. I know some fans will be unhappy if that's the name is called, but like, I get it, man. He's awesome.
Yeah, and just so physical, so tough. I'm a huge Roman Unze fan as well.
Yeah.
All right, let's get to day two here. Why don't you read the first names, and then I'll do the second ones.
Cool. So the top row, Xavier Leggett, Jalen Polk from Washington, Trey Benson from Florida State. There's one of our risky guys, Trey Benson, but gosh, everything else, man. And he did test very well. Then Cole Bishop, the safety out of Utah. Turns out, by the way, that I technically have the two main Utah players ranked higher than Steven. So either I'm a new Utah convert or maybe they're just really good.
Yeah, I mean, my guy Jonah Ellis had the best three cone of any edge rusher in NFL history today at his personal pro day.
Did he?
So if that sticks, man, he tested very, very well. Next row here, Jordan Morgan, the offensive tackle from Arizona, slash potentially guard. Braylon Trice, the edge rusher from Washington. Cam Hart, the cornerback from Notre Dame. If you've been listening to the show for the last few weeks, you have no surprise that he is on this list. And Michael Hall as well, a guy that we are hoping continues to get more recognition down the stretch because he is also fantastic. Third in composite ranking. RES is outstanding as well. So we'll talk about more about him in a second. But you want to do Hall first since I went first last time?
Yeah, no problem. So I keep hearing with Michael Hall, like, okay, so Michael Hall, all he is a pass rusher. I'm like, okay, there's guys getting $30 million in the league right now.
You're like, and?
And, like, he's really good at it. I think rushing the passer is pretty good. So I get that he's not, like, a nose tackle by any means. He's not a zero. But, boy, this guy on film, immediately, you fall in love. And there's guys that, you know, work well, and maybe they're individual or whatever. But I just think watching him just wreck the offensive line, other than maybe Newton and Murphy, like, he's the next best just line wrecker and play wrecker, guys that just destroy the line of scrimmage and ruin whatever you drew up, and really just helps out the whole scheme. But selling points for him, if Murphy's the number one guy, Michael Hall is literally the next guy, number two right behind him in pass rush productivity and win rate behind Murphy. He's only 20 years old. I mean, some of these guys are 23 years old. Like, oh, yeah, they're better against the run, or maybe they're more refined. Like, okay, I'm betting on this guy and what he's doing at 20 versus someone at 23 who's, you know, older, maybe has more years. You know, they're in their fifth or sixth year or something. I'm going with Hall there. He's also a Coach Ed guy. And then if Khalil Mack can work with Coach Ed, that's good enough for me. So I think Coach Ed's a very good resource, of course. He was voted by the offensive line as a Senior Bowl practice player of the week. So the offensive line voted him as this. Oh, and his RAS, as Steven pointed out earlier, is elite, and his comps are Quinnen Williams and Devontae Wyatt. Not that I think he's the next Quinnen Williams by any means, but those are your RAS comps. So elite rusher, great coach, young, dominated the Senior Bowl, great tape, top 40 player for me easily, and his RAS is elite and has great comps. And everyone's like, round three. And I'm like, I don't know where we're losing this. Like,
he's like 110th on the consensus board. Yes. I don't get it.
Yeah, I'm like, guys, you know, PFF has him in the hundreds. I'm like, even if you liked Kalijah Kancey more, Kalijah Kancey wasn't out there like just taking on gaps and like just like dominating the line of scrimmage in the run game.
Yeah.
So I don't really know what it is that has Kancey as his top, like, I think they had him as like a top 15 player, and Hall's so far back. I don't get it.
Yeah, even on this list, Devontae Wyatt, Michael Hall has significantly better tape than Devontae Wyatt did, in my opinion. And Devontae Wyatt had injury concerns as well as character concerns. Like, the first round pick, like the Packers traded up to go get him. So it just, this is a guy that I think, again, like in terms of consideration, like I know on if you draft him at 37, it's PFF Simulator is going to give you an F. But if you did that, I would be honestly very happy. Like we have been taking defensive tackle for the Chargers earlier, you know, at least like in the first four rounds, because it's a real need. Like the Chargers do not have any long-term assets at that position. you know, maybe Otito Ogbonia becomes something, but Morgan Fox is a free agent after next year. Puna Ford's on a one-year deal. Like, they need a long-term asset desperately to make things work. And as Arjun has pointed out, you, if you want high-end elite defensive tackle play, you have to do it early, like in the top 50. So Michael Hall, to me, like the way that we've talked a lot about him, like I am strongly considering taking him at 37. Mm-hmm. And I know people will be pretty shocked at that, but the film, like, he checks every box that you could possibly want as a as an interior pass rusher. And he's like you said, he's 20. Just because he's not a good run defender now doesn't mean he can't become one later on. And like, Justin Madubuike was not a great run defender right away either. Like, it took him some time, but there was always that pass rush floor. And I think that's part of the conversation here for Michael Hall.
Yeah, I agree. I don't understand the placement on PFF's board. I think consensus board likes him a bit more in like the 60s or 70s. I could be wrong. But again, he's very easily defensive tackle 3 for me.
Yeah. And now, especially with the Tavondre Sweat situation, like, I think that
like
more. My guy here is Braylon Trice, the edge rusher from Washington. He's an above average athlete. He's not an elite athlete. The overall per play stats are not necessarily eye popping, but what is eye popping is his win rate against true pass sets. So at PFF, if you don't know, qualifies a true pass set as no double teams, no screens, no quick game. Basically, it's like one-on-one, like true 5-step drop, 7-step drop, like what in an individual matchup. His pass rush win rate in those situations this past season was 30.9%. And that is one of 5 edge rushers to hit above 30% in the PFF era, which is since 2014. On that list are Joey Bosa, Chase Young, and Trey Hendrickson, and Braylon Trice. The other guy is Oshane Jimenez, who it was like a 5th-round pick out of, I can't even remember, he's like a small school guy. So outside of Oshane Jimenez, this is rare company for Braylon Trice. I think it absolutely shows up on tape. His motor is consistently running. Like, there are so many times where he'll create a pressure, he'll loop around, quarterback escapes vertically, and Trice will loop all the way around and end up chasing the quarterback down and tackle him. He's not a great run defender right now, but his skill set and his strength and the way that he works, to me, shows that he can become that guy at some point. He is also another Coach Ed guy. And Coach Ed seems to think that his testing performance at the combine was just a bad day, which, you know, Coach Ed hypes his guys up. That's what he's, you know, part of his gig. But maybe it is true. I don't know. Either way, I think you watch the film and this guy is all over the place on tape against quality offensive tackles, against Satoa Laumea, against Talisa Fuanga, against Jordan Morgan. This guy was consistently in the backfield, as a pass rusher and as a run defender. So to me, this is a bet on a guy who's so highly effective that he's one of 4 D1 players to ever accomplish a feat like winning pass rush rate above 30%. And the film is great. The motor is great. The work ethic is great. To me, this is, you check basically every box outside of the athleticism here. And I think you just kind of bet on the person to overcome that.
Yeah. I have jumped more because the Chargers kept their 3 edge rushers. I jumped more to like day 3, later day 2 edge rusher. So I have not watched Trice yet. I've watched plenty of day 3 guys who don't sound as good as Trice. Got to look at those guys. Do you agree, or do you think, you know, with Mark here, that Braylon Trice is like a Harbaugh guy? Does that feel like a mentor guy?
I definitely see that. Gabriel also pointing out, you know, Mack and Bosa potentially not on the roster next year. Edge rusher is a sneaky need. I don't think it's a need where they really go out there early, but I do think Braylon Trice is a Harbaugh guy. And I do think also, for what it's worth, the Chargers defensive line coach was really, really interested in him at the Washington Pro Day doing individual workouts. So the Chargers at least have some interest there. Whether or not that pans into a pick, I don't know, because you probably have to take Trice at 37. And I just don't know if they can really afford that.
I agree. And I think they should go elsewhere, but I get it. Honestly, I even get it in round 1 why they'd take an edge rusher, because honestly, between Mack, Bosa, and Thule, one of those guys is not going to work out this year, in my opinion, for some reason. Could be age, could be injuries. Technically, we don't know for sure that Tuli is going to take that next step. You never know.
Yeah.
So one of those guys isn't going to work out. And one or two of those guys, not Tuli, are going to be gone next season. So I would get why they go edge rusher. So I'm starting to work my way back into watching some of these guys.
Yeah, Trice is a ton of fun, man. He's really, really good player. And I do think he is a quote-unquote Harbaugh guy. Had a pretty good game against Michigan as well. He was really like the only Washington defender that had a good game that day. So it was a tough watch for them. But yeah, man, I love Trice, and I think he's going to be a steal for wherever he goes. Honestly, his profile is pretty similar to Tuli. You know, just kind of not a great athlete, mm-hmm. but just wins consistently. Motor. Kind of checks mm-hmm. that box, and he's a little bit more like length. He's got more length to him and more power, I think, than Tuli did in college. Mm. So he's a fun player for sure.
Yeah, that's exciting. Ready to pay some bills?
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Owning a small business can be overwhelming. How can your business stand out and connect with customers? Easy. Get Constant Contact. There's so many places to reach customers. Email, text messages, Instagram, TikTok, Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, live events, the list goes on. How are you, as the business owner, expected to own all of those channels? That's where Constant Contact comes in to help. With Constant Contact, you'll reach new audiences, grow your customer list, and communicate more effectively to sell more, raise more, and fast-track growth. I use this to grow my email list, and you should too. So get going and start growing your business today with a free trial at ConstantContact.com. Just go to ConstantContact.com right now. Constant Contact, helping the small stand tall. ConstantContact.com.
Yes. All right, so before we continue on to day three, we got to tell you guys more about Prize Picks. So Tyler will do that, and then I'll tell you about our other friends, Unified, after that.
Yeah, so if you're not using Prize Picks, what are you doing? Yeah, just pause the show, and I lied. Like, subscribe, leave a comment, and then go do Prize Picks. Prize Picks is awesome. It's a skill-based, real-money, daily fantasy sports game. You can pick two players, three, four, five, six players, and if they'll go more or less than their current Prize Picks projection, we'll love using them. They're a blast. It's a piece of cake for a dummy like me to be able to just jump on my phone and go, that, done. Get an instant payout once, of course, the games are all done. It's awesome. So go make your selections, whatever you're interested in. It's probably on there. So go to prizepicks.com/guilty and use the code guilty for our first deposit match up to $100. Again, that's prizepicks.com/guilty. Use the code guilty.
Yeah, I mean, with how many baseball games happen each day, like you could be on Prize Picks every single day of the week at this point. So definitely encourage you guys to go use Prize Picks. It does also help support the show. Our next one here is Unified Health Systems. This is a new deal that we have been able to get with. And as a school counselor and a podcaster, you know, I really advocate for my own mental and physical well-being. And obviously proper recovery from working out is top-notch, is crucial to having top-notch performance as well. This is obviously a very important topic for the Chargers right now as they adjust to the Ben Herbert era. And so Unified Health Systems is a great way to make sure you are living your best life. They have introduced the new Energy Enhancement System, or the EE system. And if you haven't heard of the system yet, you'll want to listen up, because this technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification and rejuvenation. Whether you are here in Fresno or down there in Orange County, my mom let me know that there's a location right around the street in Salt Lake City. So you can go to unifiedhealing.com/guilty to find a location near you. Again, that is unifiedhealing.com/guilty to learn more about Unified Healing EE System. So appreciate their support of the show, and hopefully you guys can go check it out.
Yeah, if Steven picking Joe out at 5 the other day really spins you in a spiral, go check him out.
Yeah, some people were like, why would he do that? I'm like, I explained my logic on the show. Like, just go listen.
No one has time to listen to it.
All right, let's finish up here with the day 3, guys. Again, like I mentioned, I think this is really where you find this value. You know, sometimes an Adetemiwa Adebuare drops to you and, you know, it checks that box for you, like the Colts did. So on the list here, we have the running back from South Dakota State, Isaiah Davis. We have the tight end from Kansas State, Ben Sinnott. Isaiah Davis' teammate, Mason McCormick. And then Matt Lee, who is the center from Miami.
And then at the bottom here, we have Jerrion Jones, the slot corner from Florida State. We have Audric Estime from Notre Dame. Malik Mustafa, the safety from Wake Forest. And Gabriel Murphy, who I have not watched yet, but Steven assures me that he is a ball of fun.
Yeah, he's got some size concerns, but if you like Liatu Latu, Gabriel Murphy is just kind of like the bite size discount version of Liatu Latu.
And he's like, doesn't he have like 80 pressures this year too?
Yeah, you can tell that they like totally trained together because they will run the same pass rush moves.
Cool.
Arjun tweeted out the list or the graphic today of like, I think it was run stop rate and pass rush win rate, and the Murphy twins, because there's two of them, and Liatu Latu are all right next to each other, which is crazy because UCLA was like not very good this year, but they had three like insanely productive edge rushers.
Yeah, not quite the same, but like last year USC was an awful defense and they're still an awful defense, and then Thule was just like sitting there and then he goes to the NFL and he's like the second best edge rusher rookie.
Yeah. So I think Gabriel Murphy's arms are like 31 inches for what it's worth, but he tests like a freak, films great. It's a lot of fun.
Sounds good.
Okay, so I'm going to talk about the running back from South Dakota State, Isaiah Davis. We've mentioned him briefly. I think we took him in a mock draft. Mm-hmm. But he's somebody who has dominated the smaller school FCS level, and that's what you want to see, obviously, from these kind of prospects. He's accumulated 3,000 rushing yards and 33 touchdowns in the last 2 years, and that's not even counting like screens and receiving yards or anything like that. This is one of the best pure runners in the draft, in my opinion. I mentioned Talise Fuanga's ability as a gap and a zone runner, as a zone blocker. And Isaiah Davis has that same kind of stuff. Like, he can do all of the gap power runs. He can wiggle through these tiny little spaces and then pop a big run. He can also, you know, ride the wave, as they talk about it, on an outside zone run, find a crease, and then pop it. So he's extremely explosive, physical. This is a guy who I think checks a lot of boxes stylistically for what the Chargers need outside of Gus Edwards. And then to me, like, his highest trait that I love watching him run is his contact balance. He's a guy who very rarely goes down on first contact. So the stats are great. The RAS is great. The overall production is great. It's like, yeah, he went to a smaller school, but he was the best player in the conference for the last 2 years at that smaller school level. So Isaiah Davis, to me, checks a lot of boxes. I watched him, and I really liked him. And then I watched his teammate, Mason McCormick. And then I bumped Isaiah Davis up some more because just the film was great. He's also great in pass protection. That was kind of like the thing that I noticed the second time around, was his ability as a pass protector. So I'm a big fan of Isaiah Davis. We've taken him in like the 7th round of mock drafts. I'd be comfortable taking him earlier than that. He's a stud, and I think he deserves to go higher than where he's been going in mock drafts right now.
Yeah, I agree. This is another one I'm not really so sure about. I don't know where some of these guys ranked, but like some of these guys, these smaller school guys, you find that they are big home run hitters, but the whole like the gap has to be wider.
Yeah, than, yeah.
And it's got to be really easy for them. So you look at it and you're watching, it's like, I don't know if that'll translate. Like a Pierre Strong, it's kind of did,
yeah,
or didn't, I should say. He's already been traded, I think. With Davis, it's like he contact is probably his best trait, and also he can break it. Like, he doesn't have a ton of runs that are like, he doesn't have a great like breakaway rate of like 25 yards or home run hits, but I think he has the best like 10 plus yard hits of this class. Like, he will consistently get those like 10 yard chunks,
yeah,
which is awesome to see. I mean, I was looking at, when I first started looking for running backs and when Harbaugh was hired, I looked at the Senior Bowl roster and he was bigger than everybody else in like height and weight, arm length, like you name it, like everything. He was just like the biggest back there. And then you check the RAS and he can actually scoot too. So he's awesome. I don't get why he's as low as he is, because he really does feel very safe. Like, at worst, he just feels like a perfect RB2. You know, like, he's a bigger guy. He's going to get the contact. You know, is he as dynamic as a Benson or Brooks as like a pass catcher? Not really. But he feels so safe. And the numbers are great. As again, like 3,000 rushing yards, 33 touchdowns. I think he has almost 4,000 total yards the past two seasons. Like, it's ridiculous. So, dominated the small school competition. Yeah. He was great there. My absolutely random love gem find of the draft so far has been Matt Lee, the center from Miami, who I actually like. I think they're similar. I actually like him more than Tanner Bordellini from Wisconsin. Ooh. I really did like him more. I talked to Thomas Martinez as well, and he likes Matt Lee more, I believe. Both like kind of similar issues with Bordellini that I don't think Matt Lee had. It also helps when the first two games you watch, because you try to watch the best competition. He plays, you know, Florida State with Fisk and Fabian Lovett, if I'm saying that right. And then he goes and he plays Clemson with Tyler Davis and Ruke Arororo and gives up zero pressures in both of those games. Like, that is really impressive. Watching him against Fisk, he took it to him. Like, and not that Fisk is like a great player by any means, but there's second round projections on him. And again, for Matt Lee to go through that gauntlet of four guys alone and give up zero pressures is awesome. So only 8 pressures in the last almost 1,000 pass blocking snaps. The PBE is great. Allowed 0 pressures versus those two, you know, great defensive line duos. And I believe his RAS is pretty solid too. So just really safe, consistent tape, good player, did well against very good competition, great PBE. I think he's very safe.
Yeah, I have not watched him, but Brandon Thorne really likes him as well. So that that checks that box for sure. The testing is fantastic. You know, he's 6'4 as well, so he's got really good size to him. I'm trying to find this real quick. I think they give him a grade. Okay, so Matt Brandon Thorne has him as interior offensive lineman 16 on his list. Overall is 118. And compared him to Juice Scruggs from the Penn State, who went in the second round last year. So
cool.
I have not watched him, but just at a quick glance, Brandon Thorne speaks pretty highly of him. And Brandon Thorne agrees with what we've been talking about, that this center class just has a ton of options. And I think obviously that's great news for the Chargers.
Yeah. So he has him as a fourth round grade, which is like, that's great. Like, that's kind of where I'm feeling too. Not like the greatest center prospect. I think you can get maybe more out of Norzad, and I think Norzad fits the Chargers better. But Matt Lee, I think, is awesome. So fourth round grade makes sense from Brandon Thorne, but he's currently projected like 250 or something in this class behind, I think, Nugent and some of these other guys like Andrew Rame. I like Matt Lee a lot more.
Yeah, he's on my list. I'm not a huge fan of Drake Nugent or Andrew Rame, so I'm excited to dive into Matt Lee. Do you feel like he, because I honestly have not watched any of the Miami offense. Are they more of a zone team? Are they more of a gap power scheme team?
No. I think, good question, because I don't focus on like the running back and stuff specifically. I'd say they were probably more zone. They also did a lot of funky stuff. And I'm thinking Pearsall. Sorry, I'm thinking Florida. But no, I'd say zone. He's definitely a mover. He's not a gap guy, I don't think.
Okay.
But I do think he's, how do I say this? I think he's more of a gap guy than Tanner Bordellini, I guess. But he's a mover.
Yeah, Tanner Bordellini definitely is like strictly outside zone for me.
Yeah.
So. All right. I think that's our last one, right?
It is.
All right. There we go. Some real sleepers. We're giving you the deep cuts here, the fourth round center prospects on this show.
Yeah, man. Yeah. We could spend 2 hours just naming off 300th ranked players. Except for Tyron Tracy, who I have not watched.
Yeah, I have not watched him. So I think Trevor was almost going to take Tyron.
Yes.
Tracy, so there seems to be a lot of fans of him. So I guess I need to add him to my list.
There's a Purdue guy every year. I think he's a Purdue guy.
Yeah.
It was the tight end last year, who I actually loved quite a bit. There was Well, there was
Xander.
Horvath. Yeah. There was was it the corner last year that I think Brett Coleman loved it as like CB4 or something, and he like went undrafted or something.
Yeah. What was his name? I'm gonna have to look.
I can't remember his name. I didn't watch him because he wasn't even on my radar. And then Brett Coleman's like CB6. I'm like, well, okay.
Yeah, there was a lot of people who liked him too.
Or maybe he got hurt. I forget what it was. Someone in the chat will know.
That's where Rondo Moore went, I think, too.
Yeah. Always a Purdue guy. There's always one guy. Just like there's always a Memphis guy. Hashtag Blake Watson. Hashtag
bump him up. I don't think I watched him either. Doesn't look like it.
No, I was like done with the corner class, and then
I want to say Trice also, maybe.
Braylon Trice. Does that sound right?
Corey Trice. Corey Trice. That's who it was.
Braylon Trice.
Braylon Trice is the Washington edge rusher.
Oh. Like I said, we always do our homework here.
That was awesome. That was funny. Great. Yeah, that was Purdue. What was the tight end's name? I liked him.
It's so funny because I did too. I can think of what he looks like and how he runs and the play against Maryland. Yet I can't think of what his name was.
He was great at the Senior Bowl.
Is it Peyton something? It's not Peyton Hillis.
No, because that was the running back from the Browns with like the
that I know
face mask.
Which is awesome. Let me get back to that era.
Does sound right.
Holy crap. Where is this person? That's running back. We're both on the same Google sheet right now. Payne Durham.
There we go. Yeah, that was good stuff.
Everyone's sticking around. Kareem's asking if we're going to put out our position rankings. I'm in the process of just writing those out.
Yeah.
Because we're not going to do a video. They do okay, but some people just don't really care. And you know, like nobody cares after the top like seven or so, but like I have my offensive line coming together. I think I'll do like a top 30 offensive linemen, not like tackle and guard separately,
just pure offensive line,
straight up offensive linemen. So I'll do that. Wide receiver, I'm already working on, etc. So week before the draft, those will get finalized and they'll be out.
Yeah. Well, we're going to do a top 100 video.
Yeah.
Or maybe 75. I don't know. We'll mention that.
Yeah.
But there'll be some position breakdowns on there. We, in the past, we've done like individual like rankings for every position. And I think we just kind of pivoted this year to covering the draft in a different way. And honestly, the way that we've done it makes a lot more sense to me. I think it's more fun to talk about it the way that we have. So, you know, it's a little bit more adaptive. Like there's no real point about talking about like Dallas Turner and Liatu Latu besides, you know, what we have done. So I think hopefully you guys have liked it too.
I think we'll have a couple linebackers in the top 75.
Yeah. Junior Colson and Peyton Wilson are both in my top 75.
I agree. I don't have Cooper graded, so I don't know yet, but we'll have two.
Yeah.
You know, two.
Edrin Cooper. I don't want to say that part, actually. I'm going to stop myself, but
okay. Interesting. I think Trevor was surprised it took Colson. I haven't watched, I didn't watch Cooper, so I'm not going to take someone I didn't watch, but I don't know.
There's everybody.
Does he remind you of a player?
Yes. And I don't want to say it because that'll make people mad. And he reminds me of Kenneth Murray. I'm just going to put it out there. I do not love the tape. He's fast and he's very strong, but that's it for me. There's not a lot of recognition and physicality downhill to his game. Mm. And Kenneth Murray has left some scars in my draft evaluation. So if you cannot take on pulling guards and you cannot stack and shed, you are low on my rankings. So that is
gotcha.
That's why I like Junior Colson and Peyton Wilson.
Can Cooper cover? Great.
No.
Excited to talk about
it. He can spy quarterbacks, though, which again kind of leads to like the Kenneth Murray thing. So, because that's like half of what he did at Oklahoma.
That's great. All right, cool. Well, I'm excited to get that one. That's great. And Braylon Trice is the edge rusher for Washington.
Yeah. So yeah, linebackers, fun. I watched the Texas linebacker. There's some good coverage stuff there. I haven't slapped the grade on him yet, but he's kind of, he might be my sleeper of the
linebacker class. Nice. I've watched four linebackers.
I think you should watch Trotter. Some people like Trotter quite a bit. I'm not a huge because he's small and slow, but some people really like him.
Well, we work together and you like me. I am small and slow as well. You wouldn't draft me though.
Not at linebacker.
Tackle?
Less. Oh my gosh. Good stuff. All right. Yeah. So that's going to do it for us today. Really quick, wanted to acknowledge the super sticker here from Gabriel Caldera. Really appreciate that. It's very generous of you. Love that LT jersey in the profile picture. Always appreciate the super stickers here, as well as any support. Obviously, if you're live in this chat, I feel like a lot of the people in here tonight are our usuals. So we appreciate you guys. Hopefully you enjoy the episode. Make sure like, subscribe, comment, all that good stuff. Sincerely does help grow the show. We'll be back here live on Thursday, and hope to see some of you guys then. All right, that's going to do it. We'll see you later. Bolt up.